Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the service, and let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, we pause here tonight. Thank you for each one that has come here, Lord, and I pray that each of our hearts could be ministered to tonight. Thank you for these words that we've been singing, Lord, and things that were written long ago, and just how it's ministered to our hearts. I pray that you would bless the rest of this service, Lord, these words that I share, that you could use it for your honor, Lord. And just pray a special blessing on this service tonight, Lord. Help us each to have open hearts, Lord, and to just allow you to minister to us, to bring peace in our hearts, Lord. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I feel a bit unprepared tonight, but I guess I'm not. Like Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying that if he needs to speak for 10 minutes, he's going to have a week to prepare. But if he's going to speak for an hour, he can start right now. And I guess that's not the way I am, but I don't have a whole lot to share tonight, but we'll see what God has for us. So tonight I want to ask the question, is your God still in control? And another question is, do we believe the Word of God? Because if we do, this first question will be clearly answered through His Word. His Word clearly shares how He's in control. So I just have a number of scriptures tonight, and a few different aspects of ways that God is in control. And these scriptures clearly lay out the fact that He is in control at the very highest level, and it comes down to every level of authority and circumstances beneath that. So I want to look at several verses in the first couple chapters of Job. Wednesday night we heard some out of these chapters, and I kind of have going to be reading some of the same verses, a little different angle. But Job chapter 1, starting in verse 6. And this is just to lay a groundwork for the first point I have to make here. Starting in verse 6, says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." So Satan here was acknowledging God's control over Job's circumstance in his life. And he was somewhat saying that this is the only reason that Job serves you, is because you have control over his life and you've chosen to bless him above many other people, it seems. Verse 11 says, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." So I want to look at the fact tonight that Satan himself is under God's control and limited directly in what he can do by what God allows. And so we'll look at some verses over in chapter 2 of Job, where God gave Satan a little bit more liberty here, allowed him to do a little bit more in Job's life. Beginning in the first verse of chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So here the Lord gave Satan a little bit more space to work his destruction in Job's life. A couple more verses on this point. Revelation chapter 20. And starting at the beginning of the chapter. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So here the Lord is clear, just having his way with Satan. He's binding him and putting him in prison under a chain. He's letting him go when he sees it's fit for a little season. Down in verse 7, we'll continue. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. In verse 9 here, we see where God has set the bounds, the limits of what Satan can do. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And there's another passage in Revelation that talks about the beast that is to come, that gets its power, its authority from the dragon, which is Satan. And it talks about how this beast is going to blaspheme great things against God and cause many to be deceived and to be distracted and led away from God through that, by blaspheming the very one that gave him his authority through the devil. So these things are it's very important for us to realize who's in control. Okay, now going a little different direction, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 21. There's one verse there, you don't have to turn. Very familiar verse, Proverbs 21, verse 1. The authority that God puts in our life through the carnal government of our nation, that we are directly resisting God. And it says that they shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I heard a comment recently that surely we all know that the government is not out for our good. And I don't know how to look at that comparing to this verse where it says that, speaking of the government, the king, he is the minister of God to thee for good. And I know, yeah, things don't always look good, but we need to base our beliefs off of the Bible. And God is in control. He's in control of the government. And because of that, all these things written in the scripture, they can actually give us hope when we see the way things are going in the world. Because we know that, as the Bible said, things are going to get worse. We don't need to just be so negative and discouraged and just always living in fear of these things, the devil, the government. Because we know that what God says in his word is true, and he's allowing these things to happen. And I was just thinking, isn't it true that we worship who we think is in control? So if God is not clearly in control in our life, in our mind, if we don't maintain that belief, then our worship is going to go elsewhere. And worship of anything other than God is going to lead us to bad places. Many people turn from worship of God to worship of their self, which in the end, when they realize how little they're actually in control, that will lead to depression. For many people, it leads to suicide when they live for self and they realize that they have no control over the circumstances. Worship of Satan ultimately leads us to the bottomless pit prepared for him and his angels. And we can worship something that we hate. I think that's true. I think we can, without realizing it, we can hate something, and yet by our devotion and our attention to it, we can worship it. Just think of primitive idol worship that we see still today in third world countries and things, where they have this god that they worship as a statue and an idol, a figure that they've created, and they hate this god. They live in fear of it continually. It can't do hardly anything good for them, but they're constantly trying to figure out what they did wrong or what they can do to appease it for a time. And still, that's worship, even though there's no adoration, no love going to that idol. They're worshiping it. And so we can worship things without really realizing it, I think. And by taking our worship off of God, we will be putting our worship on something else. We live in a very negative world. Everything and everyone is out to get us, they say. And it's sad if we as Christians have to have the same outlook. And I don't think we do. I think we're called to be the light of the world, faithfully beaming hope to those around us to be something different than they see from the normal doom and gloom that they hear. And like I said before, we should not be alarmed at the signs of the things that we see. God has clearly told us all the way through the Bible into Revelation, where he tells us how the end is going to be brought about. And I want to read a few verses in closing in Luke chapter 21. Starting in verse 25. just underlining here how God has revealed his plan to us, as only someone who knows the whole story can. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And we see that when we focus on the things that are going on around us without a proper understanding and acknowledgement of God's hand in it. It just brings fear. It doesn't cause us to look beyond. It just brings fear in the moment. It says, "For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." So I'd just like to leave us with that verse tonight. Let's not forget who's in control. And let's study the Word and see what God says about the times that we live in. And we can be hopeful instead of full of fear and dread. So God bless you all.